Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. The American dream of prosperity is always centered around ownership of land. From the first arrival of Europeans to this continent already occupied by tens of millions of humans, the desire to own the land, from sea to shining sea, fostered a fight, fueled by manifest destiny. During the Civil War, Congress introduced a Homestead Act to give away more than 246 million acres of confiscated lands to white Americans. And after the war, Congress introduced the first federally funded diversity, equity, and inclusion program, known as the Freedmen's Bureau. It promised newly freed black people entering into a hostile white America an equitable stake in the American dream by allocating 40 acres and a mule for an economic foundation. But at numerous points along the timeline of American history across the past seven generations, that promised equitable stake in the American dream was taken away from black Americans right from the start. Farming While Black is a documentary film that examines the plight of black farmers in the United States today and showcases the efforts of black leaders to reclaim agricultural lands and practices. The film chronicles the present-day struggles of black landowners in sustainable farming and food justice efforts. Farming While Black highlights how the efforts of a growing number of younger black farmers are shaping a national movement for land ownership, revolutionary justice, and environmental stewardship. Joining the exchange are my three guests, two of the documentary's filmmakers and a land-owning farmer in the Pacific Northwest region. Mark DeSena is a writer and director of the film. Welcome, Mark.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me, Mike.
Lynn Wehmer is the film's co-producer and impact producer. Welcome, Lynn.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here today.
And Eddie Hill owns farmland in the Pacific Northwest, and he's the executive director of Food Loop Northwest. Welcome, Eddie.
Thank you very much for having me this morning.
Listeners can join the conversation by email at jx@jeffnet.org. So, Lynn, let's start with you. You co-produced the film, but before we get into the documentary, take me back to your childhood experiences and how you first gained an interest in farming and film production.
Oh, my gosh. I grew up in small town North Carolina. I grew up in a town of like 15,000 people at the most. And my father had a farm, not a farm. He had a garden. He had a garden in the backyard. And as a child, that was one of my activities that I did specifically with him, planting and then watching the plants grow and then getting the harvest, and then sharing with the community. That was a big part of it as well. And we ate, you know, fresh food from the garden and shared with community, and that's really how I grew up.
And how did you get interested in film production?
You know, I was always a creative up through high school. I went to college and studied radio television at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. And after college, I moved into more so the sales area. I just never thought I could create TV. And this was back in 1982. I never saw that for myself. And I only saw people who look like me in TV news positions. And I worked in TV news for a while, but I just didn't like TV news. And I remember thinking, as I left one internship, I was like, I don't want to create news. I want to make movies. But I never knew how. So I went on and I got into the sales aspect with HBO. And I did very well there. I had a great time creating strategies to sell the programming to cable operators and develop marketing strategies in for major markets. And that was a lot of fun. And again, I just never saw myself on the other side. But then after my career with HBO ended, I met Jamie Redford, who was a documentary film producer. And I asked him, I said, you know, maybe you could teach me how to create films, how to And he was just like, oh, you know, there's a guy who taught me, everything I knew, and his name was Mark. And he went on and on and on about Mark. So I put it out of my mind. I went on for 10 years. Jamie and I worked together. I was a social impact producer and worked on taking all of films that other people made to market. Again, never saw myself doing anything else. And then I, 10 years later, I met Mark. It was so serendipitous. I met Mark at Jamie's funeral, his memorial service. He passed away. I met Mark at the memorial service. And then shortly after that, Mark reached out. And again, I just saw myself as helping Mark. And as the project grew, I was like, wow, this is so interesting. And I can see myself do a little more. So I call myself in like season four, you know, of my career, the fourth quarter. And here I am co-producing for the very first time. So I truly appreciate all of the steps along the way that I got to take, which I think makes me even more impactful. But the other part is running into or the stars aligning to connect you with people along the way who guide you to the next step. And, you know, working with Mark has just been a phenomenal experience. I just could not have a better teacher.
And that's an excellent segue. So, Mark, you're up next. You directed the film. Tell me about your background. Where'd you grow up? What were some of your earliest influences? And tell me about this meeting with Lynn.
Right. And Lynn is flattering me, and I think Jamie was as well. But I'm so happy to have Lynn in the fourth quarter, because it's a critical time right now. It's, in this, the food sovereignty and Black land sovereignty movements, mm-hmm. with all of the new things that are happening. But I was raised in the San Francisco Bay Area and raised by a single mom who, you know, when she went to work, she would put us to work in the garden just to keep us busy, and was having to break up hard adobe clay soil and fill it with compost and make it into a garden. So it's been an early lesson for me, to just the feeling of being connected to land. But I, as well as Lynn, have always been on the artistic creative side. I studied graphic design in college and realized quickly in my career that I wanted to incorporate design as well as art and writing and music, all the things that I loved, and filmmaking was the place to do it. And I had some early success with some short films. We got into the Sundance Film Festival, which led to a pass down narrative filmmaking. And we premiered our first feature there at Sundance. And I had a friend who, at our closing night premiere of the San Francisco Film Festival, said, "Mark, that was an amazing film. It was great. Now are you ready to do a really important film?" And I was taken aback at first, but a month later I was on the AIDS wards in Uganda with him. He's an infectious disease epidemiologist. And we did a short 10-minute documentary that helped him raise over $1 million to buy generic antiretroviral drugs for people that were supporting their families. One person supporting 40 families. And when they became infected, they needed the medication. Otherwise, the entire inverted pyramid would collapse. And that's led me down the road to do documentary. I just realized the power of documentaries, the power of all storytelling, really. But documentaries is where I've ended up, and maybe someday back into the narrative space. But Yeah, I do want to mention that Farming While Black was inspired by the book Farming While Black, which is written by Leah Penniman. And she is a main character in our film, along with some other supporting characters who influenced Leah. But it's a big shout out and hats off to her. She's an amazing character. She's opened my world up to such incredible knowledge and inspiration. And although I'm not black for your radio audience, I would love to be a farmer someday. And I'd love to hear more about the local farming community there through your
And that's an excellent segue. I appreciate that, Mark. my guests are Mark DeSena, director of the film Farming While Black, and Lynn Wehmer, the film's impact producer. Eddie Hill owns farmland in the Pacific Northwest, and he's the executive director of Food Loop Northwest. Eddie, how did that happen?
Hey.
How did you come to own land in the Pacific Northwest? Great migration?
This is a very interesting alignment. I came to own land and to help actually other people, a lot more other people, own land and bring that farmland ownership experience to either their individual or business. So a lot of nonprofits here. Just a real quick background. I'm a journalist as well. I studied at Cal State Hayward under East Bay with Reese Ehrlichman, and was hit with the journalism and radio bug in the early 90s. And I grew up in Chicago, had a great, great grandfather who was a laborer as a child at Tuskegee Institute when it was being built. So there's a family story about George Washington Carver, who was the founder of that. And of course, one of the preeminent black scientists, African-American scientists, formerly enslaved, that helped revolutionize agriculture and agriculture education in the South for African-Americans after the Civil War. My interest came in when I moved, I relocated to Olympia, Washington in 1995 to work for the state insurance commissioner as a public relations officer. And a friend of mine who was a journalist that got me hired introduced me to the Evergreen State College organic farm. And I went out and just caught the bug and started farming. And within a few years, had a small farm down in Black Lake, the Black Lake area, in Olympia, Washington, and started to come in, a historian by nature, sort of inquisitive, and started to discover an alignment with African Americans who had moved to the Pacific Northwest in the mid-1800s and founded towns and founded large farm parcels and operations and businesses around agriculture, as well as in Oregon. So the interest was twofold. I was both addicted to agriculture, and I used it as a post-traumatic stress syndrome. I'm a veteran of the U.S. Army, and used it initially as a way to calm myself and to find some healing. And then it became a business opportunity for me. And then as I heard more about the history of African Americans in the Pacific Northwest and the founding of Centralia, Washington, or the prairie just south of Tumwater was founded by an African American farmer, Letitia Carson, down in Oregon, won a case in the 1800s against seizure of her farmland that was owned by her husband initially, and then being a former slave and having traveled with him, she retained that or recaptured that land. So there's some deep history that also drove me to help spark a movement when I moved to Portland in 2013. I had been farming in Washington, and I moved to Oregon and found an empty space of a distance between the history of the foundation of the Pacific Northwest and the role that African Americans played in it and within agriculture, and then the new national movement. I used to work for Will Allen at Growing Power in Milwaukee and did other work around stimulating and activating food systems and food justice work in Washington. Brought that to Oregon, and so, the last 5-7 years, we've been building a movement.
So, Eddie, we're going to have to leave it there. We have to take a short break. My guests are Mark DeSena, director of the film Farming While Black, and Lynn Wehmer, the film's impact producer, and Eddie Hill. I'm Mike Green. You're listening to The Jefferson Exchange on JPR. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. My guests are Mark DeSena, director of the film Farming While Black, and Lynn Wehmer, the film's impact producer. Eddie Hill owns farmland in the Pacific Northwest, and he's the executive director of Food Loop Northwest. A screening of Farming While Black will be presented tonight at the Varsity Theater in Ashland at 7 p.m. Listeners can join the conversation now by email at jx@jeffnet.org. So we met all three of you before the break. And Mark, now tell me about the story arc that you directed with the featured farmers in this film, Farming While Black.
Right. A little bit of the backstory is that I come from the environmental justice space. Previous film, Not Without Us, followed grassroots activists from around the world to the climate talks in Paris to present the counter narrative to the quote unquote successful agreement, which we all know is not that successful. But from that film, realized that one of the greatest solutions, and I was hungering for to do a project about solutions, was changing the way we use land and the way we grow food. And it has a huge impact. Regenerative agriculture can have a huge impact on climate. And I'd heard a podcast with Leah Penniman when she was on her book tour back in 2019. And she agreed to meet with us. And we had no idea that we were necessarily going to do a feature film, but she agreed to meet with us. We had a great interview. We started to follow her and gain trust and sort of uncovered the story of the plight of Black farmers in the U.S. And they had, in 1910, owned 14% of the farms in the country, and now is down to less than 2% today. But with Leah, you know, not only the historical aspect was revealed, but also the very positive aspect of the rising generation of young Black and brown farmers who are rediscovering their connection to land. And that it was a big part of the story just in the telling of Leah's work at Soulfire Farm. She's a co-founder and Karen Washington and Blaine Snipstall are also farmers in the film. And not to be a spoiler alert, but the film does end with solutions to how they solve issues of land ownership and how they attained them farms themselves. So it's an uplifting film. We've been incredibly surprised by the reception it's gotten, not only from what we thought was going to be the major audience of Black and brown farmers, but also just allies that are building. And right now we need allyship more than ever.
Well, I was able to see a bit of the film, and I have to say it's rather inspiring. There was struggle, though, and the land that Leah Penniman and her husband purchased was not conducive to growing food, and they had to learn restoration techniques that they employed. Lynn, what was the inspiration for you for this film, and what message does it convey?
For me, I was drawn to the film from the historical perspective. I really did not know the history of Black farmers. I did not know the struggle. Even despite having farmers in my family, in my husband's family, with large acreage in South Carolina, I had no idea. So for me, especially as an impact producer, it was the ability to bring that story to those who didn't know. It was an opportunity to provide additional education and awareness to this issue, much less the ability to take it and impact policy, which, you know, of course, all filmmakers love for their film to really make a difference in someone's life. But to change systems is major for a film to have that type of impact. So that's what drew me to what the potential to make change within our country.
Well, Mark mentioned Leah Penniman and Karen Washington. I think they had a very close relationship. It grew closer as throughout the film. It had me wondering about the prevalence of Black women leading this movement toward returning back to the land and regaining our health and nourishment through a relationship with the soil and each other. What are your thoughts about that, Lynn?
It was beautiful. From the first time that I saw the very first cut, which was a clip of Leah running on the land, I was sold. She is just such a beautiful soul who was so smart and has so much to offer. And so the ability to show that to people who ordinarily would not be able to see that, to see this farmer, per se, who is really changing the world through using techniques that she has learned truly from all over the world. When she talks about, you know, going to Ghana and bringing back some of those strategies and applying those right there on her land, improving her land, but then taking those same lessons and building a train-the-trainer type system to give that knowledge to basically anyone who wants it is just phenomenal to me. It's really a lesson in sustainability and just taking what you have and sharing.
My guests are Mark DeSena, director of the film Farming While Black, and Lynn Wehmer, the film's impact producer. Eddie Hill owns farmland in the Pacific Northwest, and he's the executive director of Food Loop Northwest. Eddie, I watched a presentation you gave in Portland titled Food is Infrastructure. And we have a similar ideology here in Southern Oregon with the Rogue Valley Food System Network. Can you talk a bit about the food system infrastructure and the work that you do?
Oh, very much so. Yes, thank you. And the arc of this story is absolutely like proof for me. I'm friends with Karen Washington. She's one of my mentors. We all trained at and know Will Allen and work with the Detroit food cooperative with Malik Yakini and Leah and her crew, and have actually been connected at the Bugs Farm. It's a national Black urban farm and gardeners conference that's been happening since 2013. So we are all connected and we are all making changes in our region. You mentioned something real quick about women leading this, and in Oregon, women are leading this work from Rogue Valley. I was on their DEI committee. I've been supporting and working with farmers in Southern Oregon and the tribes to advance and elevate underrepresented farmers, including veterans and women. The gravity of this and the importance of the link and the sharing of information. Food is infrastructure for me is the next phase of the food justice movement. And instead of like we had food justice, we had environmental justice, food justice, then we had food systems, and then we had, you know, inclusion and diversity, BIPOC, and now we're just sort of like, I think everybody's at the point now where we understand that it's a common fight and that we have more to lose than by being separate, and that infrastructure concept, not a concept, it's an actual thing. Food uses roads. Food uses fuel. Food uses trucks and machinery, and it's a closed-loop system, and just like energy or water. And the expectation we have in the morning when we turn on the lights, when we flush the toilet, is that those infrastructures operate, right? Similarly with food, and we have, I believe we have distanced ourselves from the reality that food is a critical infrastructure and should be treated and protected as such. So the consistency of energy, the consistency of water should be applied and understood that we need the same, if not more so, a consistency in our food, access to healthy food, access by people both in rural areas and urban areas in Oregon, and the Oregon Community Small Farms Network and other organizations, including Black-led organizations that are all led by women, Black Food Fund, Black Food Sovereignty Coalition, Feed 'em Freedom Foundation, Black Oregon Land Trust, Black Ag Ecosystem, and the Black Ag Leadership Council are all creating the next phase of infrastructure with not just food production and farming and land ownership, it's also getting it to market, making sales, and then bringing that waste back to the farm to be converted into energy and or soil for regeneration so that we can sustain ourselves and maintain resilience together with all communities included.
There's an entire economic ecosystem around that. We're going to have you back, Eddie, and talk about what's happening here in Oregon. Mark, tell me what happens next with this movie, Farming While Black. What do you hope Black audiences will learn and walk away with?
Well, and we're hoping it's Black audiences, but also, again, allyship. But one decision that we've made is we are not selling the film to a distributor. We found that the greatest power of the film to make change, as Lynn talked about, is to screen the film in community and have discussions with local Black farmers, sometimes with us filmmakers, but we don't have to be there each time, but just to create that dialogue and inspire folks to maybe reconnect with the land. And, you know, in the screenings that we've had, there's, you know, it's always been just so gratifying to have people respond to the film, and there's usually one or two that are just emotionally wrought after the film and are inspired to change their lives. And, you know, again, that's the goal of any filmmaker. We are going to be offering the film educationally very soon through New Day Films, and we just hope to keep the inspiration train rolling.
Lynn, you're the impact strategist, impact producer, and your documentary, Farming While Black, is being screened tonight here in Ashland, Oregon, at the Varsity Theater at 7 p.m. Now, Southern Oregon is 91%, maybe 92% white. Although I can attest to the fact that we have a growing and vibrant Black community here and other people of color, primarily due to the sustained proactive efforts of Southern Oregon University and the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. But what message do you want a largely white and progressive community that strongly supports farming, DEI, and people of color to receive from your film?
I hope that they go to the film, enjoy all of the messages that come out of the film, which don't necessarily have a color, which apply to all of us. The impact of using land, of keeping land within your family, the education, the history of Black farmers, the struggle that they went through in terms of getting financing and funding, the discrimination that they face. And, you know, they can look in the news today and see the same impact on all farmers today that those Black farmers had years ago.
So it's a collective struggle.
The struggle, yeah. And so, and then the environmentalism that's there, and that subject affects everyone.
So we're going to have to close here. I've got probably about a minute left, maybe. Eddie, what do you grow at your on your farmland? How much do you own, and what do you grow?
I currently own 10 acres, and I'm operating on a 600-acre farm that an ally who received land in the 1800s through his great-great-grandfather is working with down in McMinnville. It's called Taintable Labs. I'm working there. And then I have a farm, 22 acres, that I'm working in Klickitat County in Washington, just across the Columbia River. Over the last 3 years, I've helped other farmers secure about 120 acres that's owned either by individual African-Americans or organizations.
Okay, so, we're going to have to leave it there. Eddie, we're going to have you back as well. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have. Thank you, Mark and Lynn, for making this film. Thank you, Eddie, for doing the work of feeding the people through your farms. My guests were Mark DeSena, director of the film Farming While Black, and Lynn Wehmer, the film's impact producer. Eddie Hill owns farmland in the Pacific Northwest. He's the executive director of Food Loop Northwest. I'm Mike Green. You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange.